Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, taking you through a Friday night edition of the program. Again, we'll get down a little early tonight. St. Louis University Billikens basketball, they are in action this evening as they take on St. Joseph's, and our coverage of that set to begin at 7:45. Right now, very happy to welcome on to the program Rich Sermonello. He is the Vice President of College Awards with the Maxwell Football Club. Maxwell Football Club gives out a number of college football awards each year. Also works as an NFL draft analyst. He joins us right now on the program. Rich, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hello, Matt. Thanks for the Counting Crows bump. I appreciate it. How are you?
Are you a Counting Crows guy?
I do like the Counting Crows. And actually, their lead singer, a big Cal Bears football fan, a little known fact. I love music. It's a big part of my life.
Okay. Of all the bands out there, if I came back with like Springsteen and there's a guest, I'm sure there's guests out there be like, oh, thanks for the Springsteen. Like, yeah. You don't hear that very often with Counting Crows. That's unique.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very nostalgic for me.
Okay. Good stuff. I want to lead with this. There's only one SEC team left in the college football playoff, and they've been an SEC team for about 15 minutes. What do you take away from? Is this an anomaly, or are things evening out in the world of college football with NIL and everything else that's going on?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think once we get to the back end, once we get past January 20th and we do a little deep dive into what happened in 2024, what happened in the playoffs, I think that's going to be one of the big storylines because, yeah, Texas is an SEC team, but to your point, I still kind of think of them as a Big 12 team. They're an import. If it had not been for Texas and Oklahoma coming on board this year, there would have been no SEC teams in the semifinals. I think you touched on it. We're seeing a little bit of democratization of college football, college sports in general, not just NIL, but transfer portal has been a big factor as well. SEC has been able to gobble up depth for many, many years. You know, you lose a starter, you plug in another 4 or 5 star player, and these rosters are still very deep and talented, but we're seeing now throughout the month of December teams like Alabama, like Auburn, like Tennessee losing a lot of their high profile recruits very early in their careers because they want playing time immediately. So it's not full blown parity. I don't expect to see the Minnesotas or the BYUs or, you know, the Pittsburghs competing for national championships, but obviously the SEC has lost a little bit off of its fastball compared to what we've seen over the past decade.
These coaches are re-recruiting their team every year, and if you're second on the depth chart at Alabama and you've got an opportunity to go be a starter at Ole Miss, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, and that is happening every single day. It's really dominated a lot of our time. We're building a database as we speak with a lot of our staffers and our interns, just trying to keep track of what's happening with a lot of these players. And it's not just, you know, the John Mateers, the quarterback from Washington State going to Oklahoma. It's not just those high profile. When you dig a little deeper, there are rosters being built out in the Mountain West, out in the MAC, where they're getting players from those Power Four now programs and building rosters with really, really talented kids. So there's a shift that's taking place. The SEC is always going to be the SEC, and clearly, if not the best conference this year, perhaps again in 2025, but the gap between the SEC and even the Big Ten, I think the Big Ten has clearly surpassed the SEC right now.
You look at a Notre Dame team that's got a ton of transfers. Longtime college football fans are not used to Notre Dame being transfer U, but that's the world we're living in now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, even Dabo has broken down and picked up a couple of transfer recruits. You know, Dabo Swinney from Clemson is someone who's been very outspoken, doesn't like the transfer portal, wants to kind of build a farm system with his recruits, which is very admirable. But I think to compete these days, if you really want to be a true national championship contender, you're at a competitive disadvantage if you're not going into the portal and building up your roster. So even now Dabo's doing it. And, you know, yesterday we saw that big return from Jaden Harrison for Notre Dame to start the second half against Georgia. You know, that's a kid who had been playing his entire career at Marshall and was an All-American return man. And Marcus Freeman's like, hey, we need to continue to improve our special teams. Let's pluck him out. And that winds up being really a fortuitous pickup for Notre Dame yesterday.
Is Marcus Freeman the most likable Notre Dame coach in I don't know how many years? I mean, it seems like the college football world have come back around to Notre Dame largely because of how likable Marcus Freeman is.
That's another great point. You know, as I was kind of like processing everything last night, it's funny you bring that up because I was thinking the same thing. Usually Notre Dame is the one program or one of the programs in college football that's easiest to dislike. But Marcus Freeman, at the age of 38, he is such a likable guy. He's done such a great job of building that coaching staff. I've been so impressed by what he's done since that week two loss to Northern Illinois. And yeah, the hatred for Notre Dame seems to be tamped down at this point. You put them against Georgia, I think there's nationally, there's probably more dislike for the SEC in general. I wouldn't be surprised if more people were rooting for the Fighting Irish yesterday than they were for Georgia.
Most people want this bracket to be fixed where you can get into it by being a conference champion, but you don't get a bye by being a conference champion. I haven't heard anybody disagree with that. If you want to be that person, you can. But do you think this gets fixed?
Yes, I do. It might take till 2026. That's the biggest flaw right now. And listen, I'm not Chicken Little here, Matt. I love this playoff so far. I know there are flaws, but it's dramatically better than the postseason we've had at any point in college football history. I've had a blast. I love the on-campus games for the opening round. There was so much fun for what's happening, and hopefully we get more beginning on Thursday and Friday night of next week. But that's the one glaring flaw. Like, I love what Boise State did. Big fan of Arizona State. But should they have had first-round byes? I don't believe so. And the other part of that, too, is it creates an inequity in terms of the second round. Like, Oregon really shouldn't have been playing Ohio State in the second round. It should have been a Boise State, Indiana winner. That's who, you know, if you're going to be the number one team in the country, your prize at that point is no home game. And you got to play Ohio State. So I think that has to be fixed. There has to be a unanimous vote in order to have that happen in 2025. I don't know if you're going to get the Mountain West on board. Boise State got the number three seed this year. So it might take until 2026, but I do think we'll get that fix in the near future.
Yeah, and I guess that could, there's been talk about expanding this playoff even more. I guess at the very least, you can look at these conference commissioners and say, there's more money to be had if we can make some changes and some tweaks here. Because you're right, if you're the Mountain West, if you're the Big 12, if you're the ACC, you might want to push back at that.
Yeah, you might want the bye, but nobody wants to play an extra game, but there's a lot of benefit to getting. I would be inclined. See, I always want the regular season to matter as much as possible. I love the regular season in college football. I think everybody does. Every week feels like a playoff run. So if you want to give a prize to the conference champs, even if they are ACC, Big 12, Mountain West, or AAC, if they happen to qualify for a group of five spot, I would say let's make the bonus be, if you're not top four, you get that first, the automatic home game in the opening round. Like, I think that's a really nice prize. You got to play an extra game. You're the 12 seed or the 10 seed. But here's the deal. We'll give you an opening round home game. And we saw those campuses, even though those games were blowouts in week one, that was something I've never seen before. Nobody has. We've never seen an FBS-level home game in the playoffs, and I just thought the atmospheres were fantastic.
I found myself thinking that the regular season actually meant more because there were so many weeks where we had basically college football playoff elimination games. And previously, when there was only four teams in, teams got eliminated, and then that was it. Now there were more opportunities to have those kind of games. I loved the impact of the expanded playoff on the regular season.
Totally agree with you, Matt. I thought November was fantastic. You had teams jockeying for the playoffs. You had all the excitement at the end of the year. Is it SMU? Is it Alabama? Can South Carolina work their way into the mix? You know, how about Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss? I thought it was phenomenal. I think this was the thought I had as I watched that first Friday night game between Indiana and the Irish. My overriding thought was, and I think a lot of people had the same one, how in the heck did it take, you know, over a century to get to this point? I mean, it's so elementary that we should be having more great football games in December and January. And so it's finally here right now. There is a possibility we'll go from 12 to 14 in 2026. I think that's fine. I would be against expanding any further. But more meaningful football in December has been just a joy for fans of college football.
The trendy pick is Ohio State to win the national championship. Are you on that train, or are you looking somewhere else?
Hard to really look outside of Ohio State. I mean, it's fascinating. It's been, what, a month since they had that horrible performance against rival Michigan as a 3-touchdown favorite. But, you know, between that game against Michigan and Tennessee, Ohio State finally figured out, like, let's stop trying to be Michigan light and do pound, you know, ground and pound between the tackles. We have all these great athletes on offense. Let's turn them loose. The defense, especially at the line of scrimmage, has been phenomenal. Not a big fan of Texas at this point. I've seen a lot of times this year where they just can't put a full game together. They didn't do it against Clemson. They nearly blew it against ASU. So, yeah, I'm looking at Ohio State. Penn State, Notre Dame feels like a toss-up. Right now I'm so in love with that Notre Dame coaching staff. I think they'll find a way. Could be Ohio State against Marcus Freeman. Freeman against his alma mater, potentially.
Last thing for Rich Sermonell. I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. You do some NFL draft analyst work. Luther Burden III from Missouri. How high can this guy get drafted?
Yeah, I think he got underutilized a bit this year. That whole offense was iffy. I don't think we saw the full potential of Luther Burden throughout the 2024 season. I think we'll see better film from 2023. I think Luther is a mid first round, end of first round, somewhere in that pick 16 to 32. Would not be the least bit surprised if he goes that high at the end of April.
Rich, we always appreciate your time. I encourage people to look at what you guys are doing at the Maxwell Football Club, maxwellfootballclub.org. So many awards that you give out every single year. Follow you on Twitter at Rich Sermonell. Thanks for the time. Hopefully we can catch up again as we come up on the draft.
Would love that. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome. Very good. Rich Sermonell joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. When we return, we'll talk St. Louis Blues hockey. They are back at this evening. First game since the Winter Classic, where they played so well against the Blackhawks. They are at home this evening. We'll preview that game. We'll hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery. That's coming up next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.